Hi there, this is Jacob Msiba, the Senior Pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you.
That if you wake up in the morning and walk into the factory, you find one machine saying, "No, I want to be third in line. Can you just move me, please, to the other side?" But each machine then understands that there is an ultimate purpose to the way that I am built, to the way that I am supposed to function. And the machines will work together. One machine passing the product down to the other. No questions asked. Just do as you are supposed to do. And the next machine receives it. It does what it needs to do to that product. And the product moves down the line. And the next machine does what it's supposed to do to that product until the final thing is produced, which is valuable, which we are then willing to buy. We are willing to go out and buy as many of that as we need because it is now something that we need. It is also so even for God. He's also building for a purpose. It's not just happening. It's not just routine. It's not just decisions we are making as human beings. But God is building towards a particular purpose. Then the Bible continues to say to us, even though... let me read the book of Psalms 127, verse 1. Let me not get ahead of myself. The Bible says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." And this is such a powerful scripture because it speaks to the one that we've read, that even though for every house is built by someone, it still says he who builds all things is God. So even if it is my hands that are seemingly taking the brick and putting it on top of another, it is the Lord who is building all things. So even as I build, I am building by the power and the grace that I receive from God for his ultimate purpose, if I am in the will of God. So, because God has created us for a purpose and we have established the fact that everything that is built is being built for a purpose, then it means if we are building things outside of the will of God, then it is a waste. See, the Bible doesn't say the watchman can't watch. No. The watchman can watch. And he can do what he's supposed to do or what he can do. But the Bible says he stays away in vain if it is not the Lord who is building the house. So dare I say, watchman in the house this morning, let your ability to watch not be a sign that you are in the will of God. Seek the will of God for his purpose. Amen. Because you can watch all day, all night, be the greatest watchman. Your watchlessness can be out of this world. But you can find yourself watching in the wrong place. Amen. Watching where God does not want you to watch. I, for one, have been... I regard it as a privilege, really, that when you grow, you realize you have a specific gift, right? And there are things that you can do, and you can make happen, and you begin to realize, oh, when I do this, it works, you know, it moves. And at some point in my life, God came and said, just to wrap it up in a very small nutshell, God came and said, yes, you can do it. Yes, I have given you the ability to do it. But you must still hear from me where I want you to do it. Amen. Because the watchman watches in vain. if it's not the Lord who builds the house. Therefore, it is very necessary, even as we continue to build, even as we continue to use our gifts and our talents and whatever God has given us, that we do so in the right places, that we pursue the purpose of God. And the purpose of God is His glory. God is building for His glory. Amen. So, it's something that intentionally, as believers following God, that we need to be able to go to God and intentionally make sure that everything that He has given into your hands, you are using in the right place and you are using for His glory. There are so many people that I'm not going to mention any names, because I'm not even sure if what I'm saying applies to them, but we've seen, so many people who will say, I used to do this and this and that. I'll use church as an example. I used to do this and this and that at church. And then it works, and it works, and it really works. And they become prominent in what they are doing. And then they get enticed by the secular world, for lack of a better word. And you find that somebody was singing in church, and they were singing here just like our beautiful Builders Worship. Let's give them a round of applause. And then somebody comes and starts pulling you into the world. And for a while, you are still cautious, of your relationship with God. Hey, and then nini, jiggy jiggy. Hey, we see you doing things on TV and you're like, yo. Because the gift will continue to work. But it's about finding out where it's supposed to work. And if God says you are a jazz musician and you need to be singing jazz out there to the masses, by all means. I'm not saying your gifts are limited to functioning within the house of the Lord. But I'm saying they are limited to functioning where God wants you to use them. That limit is there. That limit is there. So therefore, search with all of your heart. Lord, where? Because it is only there that you will find fulfillment. When you start building according to His purpose. When it is Him building in and through you. Because it becomes easy to even go to Him and say, Lord, but you said 1, 2, 3. This is not going right. And be able to ask Him for advice. But when your mom said you must not switch on the stove. And you burn yourself. And now you have to go and tell your mom, I burnt myself on the stove. It's not easy. Because you shouldn't have done it in the first place. So may God help us, Basalwan, to find that place of purpose. So that when we are watchmen and we are standing in our post, you are fully convinced as much as you can that God put me here. Amen. And even when storms come, even when it becomes difficult, I will continue because I know that I am in line with the purpose of God. And it does not matter what I lose in the process. I am in line with the purpose of God. Amen. Amen. May God help us. Now, whatever it is that we are building, it is never for our own name, but it is always for His name. And when we build for His name, He will come and fill it and consecrate it with His glory. That's the game changer. That's the thing that sets you apart. That's the thing that makes you look at someone and say, how come everyone is doing it, but when they do it, yeah, it hits differently. It's almost like they've locked into something where they fit in perfectly. And God begins to move in their lives. The Bible teaches us that His name is above all names. And you know, in life, we almost grow up in a society and in a culture that teaches us to build a name for ourselves. But if we read the Bible and we look at what the Bible says, the Bible says to us that he has been given, Jesus that is, the name above all names. So number one, the Bible already says your name has already been superseded. Is that the word? Yeah. Yes. There's already a name above your name. Yeah. Your name will never be the greatest. Yeah. It's wisdom to know that Jesus is the name above all names. But God doesn't just leave us there. He says he has given us that name. So that even as we pursue to build it, we know it's just not a name that belongs to him. It's also our name. So, ngingafukuza, if I can say it in my broken, my Zulu is so broken. Oh my God, forgive me. Ngingafukuza, ngifunukuza keligama for myself. And be so busy. And so worn out and so tired, pushing to build a name for myself, leaving the God who is able to already give me a great name. When God spoke to Abraham and he was giving Abraham his promises, he said, I will make your name great. So for us as believers, making our names great is not our mission. Yeah. Amen. God has already said, it's not my responsibility to make hope great or to make my name great. It's not. It is the Lord who has that responsibility. It is the Lord even who has that capacity to begin with, to make our names great. But he reminds us that he has given us a name that is above all names. And when we begin to be concerned about that name, when everything we do is about that name, the Bible promises us that we will begin to see great things in our lives. Amen. I'll give you a few examples. Moses received a pattern from the Lord, and he was to build God a tabernacle. Amen. We are all waiting for that glorious day when our pastor is going to teach us on the tabernacle of Moses. I'm not sure how he's going to do it. But whenever that opportunity comes, Jemaus or something about the tabernacle of Moses, don't miss it. Amen. Do not miss it at all, at all, at all. Like, it's a not to be missed. Like, it's a not to be missed as in, boss, can I please have an hour type of thing. Because it's a powerful teaching. Amen. But God sent Moses to build a tabernacle. Obviously, the children of Israel were involved. You know the whole story. If you don't, feel free to read the book of Exodus. Amen. So he gave Moses a particular pattern to build and instruct the children of Israel, build like this, do this, do that. This needs to be this wide. I'm not even going to go into the measurements because, you know, the cubits and all of that, it's not something I am a master of. However, God gave them measurements and the way he wanted it to be built. And there was a critical thing that Moses and the children of Israel needed to know. And that was to build according to the will of God, the way he wants it to be done. See, there's a certain level of building where you are so careful. Whether you are building your relationship with God, your career and your business, you are so careful to do it the way God wants you to do it. At a level of dependence to say, Lord, show me how you want this thing to be done. What do you want out of it? Show me. To the measurement, to the curve, to the covering of the pillars, being layered with different items and whatnot, all of those pieces, the brazen lathe. I don't even want to go to it because, you know, thank God my pastor when he teaches about the tabernacle of Moses, it's just something else. But we see there the detail. And that same detail God still has today. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He never just says, go ahead and do as you please. He's a God that gives instructions. So Moses and the children of Israel began to build, and they built and continued to build. And, you know, talking about Fundisi teaching on the tabernacle, there's something he said while talking to the I think it was the Builders Connect on Tuesday, the staff members, the X team, amen. And he was saying that when they were still building, there was no glory. Because there was that, you know, confusion of why am I collecting mirrors from women, you know, to do what? And probably if they sent a gent to go and fetch the mirrors, I'm not sure who they sent. He was probably thinking, Abafet, must I go and ask for mirrors from women, you know? And those who were putting the pillars together, those who were sewing the tent, whatever piece that was there, those who were kokoteling, trying to build the cherub and all of that, it was probably a mess. And there was no glory at that time, but they continued to build, following every instruction to the T. It's a life lived unto God. It's a life lived unto God. It's a life surrendered unto God. Yeah. Where you're saying, God, my wisdom, my gift, my talents, everything you have given me is for your glory. Yeah. And not mine. Yeah. It's not to build me a name. It's to lift up the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter number 40, verse 34, the Bible says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting. This is after they had finished. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting. I thought those who were watching the Ascension Day experience on Thursday would be a little bit more excited. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. This is after they finished building according to what God wanted them to do, and they built for his name. They built into efunwa uNkulunkulu for uNkulunkulu. And sometimes we want to do for God, but sifunwi akangendlela yethu. And then say, God, fill it. But it is only when we build according to his purpose and his pattern that God will come and fill the glory. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm built for glory. And the Bible also gives us an example in Solomon. It says in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7, verse 1, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Solomon built the temple after the Lord said his father David would not. And you know what touches my heart about Solomon is, it is David who charged Solomon to build the house. David is the one that said to Solomon, God said you will build a house. And you know how many of us miss out on opportunities of the things God wants us to build because they come from a human being that we see on a daily basis. that we have maybe become too familiar with, that we cannot see the purpose of God in their lives. We cannot see the anointing and the grace they carry in order to speak and charge us to start doing certain things for God. And you know how easy it is that we can actually turn around and think it's them that want us to do this thing. But it's actually God who is able to speak through them, who gives them an instruction pertaining your life. Amen. This was the biggest thing that Solomon ever did. But God chose to tell his father, to tell him to build a house. May we not miss. May we not miss doing what God wants us to do for him, because it comes through and we receive it carnally, you know, to say, I connect. Then the only voice you are hearing, yes, and you hear it at that level, and you miss what God wants you to do. So after he had built as well, the Bible tells us that the glory of God filled the temple. And it filled the Lord's house. So everything that we build and we build according to God's will, he will come and consecrate it with his glory. Amen. He will not just leave it hanging. But there's something that will come upon that place and that will fill this place, that his name may be glorified. Amen. Amen. And even after the temple was destroyed, it was restored at his command. And when it was restored at his command, it was filled with the glory of God. The book of Haggai, chapter number 2, verse 7 says, "And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine. The gold is mine." Here's the thing that sometimes make us chase it too much, that we start building things that God didn't say anything about. Says the Lord of hosts, "The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." So we can see, Bazalwane, God is interested with filling us with his glory, with filling his house with his glory. It's not just something that we are saying, but it is what the Lord is saying to us and speaking to us about. So may we build for his name, Bazalwan. May we not build for our own name, but build for Jesus. Amen. In whatever you are doing, build for Jesus. That family, build it for Jesus. That business, build it for Jesus. That career, build it for Jesus. If you are in ministry, do the work for Jesus. Only for his name. Amen. Now, just like that temple that Solomon had built, the church has also, you know, suffered destruction during the Dark Ages. There's a lot of things that happened that then destroyed or caused the church to also suffer. Destruction, criticism, all of these things that have been done to the church. But we are at that place where God is restoring. And God is restoring and building the church to this day. Because the church is the most valuable entity to God. And in a few moments, we are going to see why. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, let's go there. Verse number 27. You can give me a big amen if you're there. Are we good? Okay. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, verse 27 says that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. I love how it's written so poetically. It expresses the heart of Jesus towards the church. It expresses the heart of God towards the church. How valuable the church is to him. The Bible refers to the church as the body of Christ. That's how much it means to him. Even when it tries to admonish husbands to love their wives, it comes back to likening it to the way Christ loves the church, what he's willing to do for the church, how far he's willing to go for the church, how he's preparing the church. That's continuous work. And that is what Jesus is willing to do for us. The Bible says that we are of his flesh and of his bones, or that the church rather is of his flesh and of his bones. So I just also want to encourage someone this morning that if you do not have, see, after we get saved, God will always plug us into a church. And this is because local churches represent what the Universal Church of Jesus Christ is doing in that particular region. So you might be asking yourself, why is there Builders Church? Why is there Hope Restoration? What else is here? The other church. Yes. Why are there so many churches? Because each and every local church is given a mandate by Jesus himself to do what he wants to do in that particular area. For and through specific people that he brings into his house. He can use a friend, he can use a family member, he can use a social media post, he can just use a wake up in the morning and think, I haven't been to church in 5 years, let me just go. But he's actually trying to bring you into his church, because whatever it is he wants to do in the world, Jesus has allocated that mandate to the church. So as you become born again and you give your life to Jesus, Jesus is going to bring you into a local church so that you can connect with him through that house. And through that, you become part of his body. Then you are here. He can fill you. He can direct the movement. If something is wrong, it's easy to feel that something is wrong with my hand. Something is wrong with my knee. I'm not far, but I am plugged in. And there is a local church. The Bible, let me use the biblical term. It says planted. I know Mfundisi also shared about it last week. You are planted in the house. You are there in the house and you become part of the body of Jesus Christ. And you become his flesh and his bone. No one has ever neglected their body. When the Bible says when the two come together, they become one. It's the same thing. And that's why even in that same passage, he's admonishing husbands. He's trying to show you there's a level of commitment where I become you, you become me. And we start functioning together. And you start seeing the mind of Christ in your business, the mind of Christ in the way you handle your relationships, the mind of Christ in how you serve at church, the mind of Christ in how you are loving your wife, loving your husband, what you are doing in your family, whatever decision that you are making, you begin to see yourself having the mind of Christ. Why? He is preparing for himself a bride. You know, Earthly husbands are admonished to care for their wives like Christ did, but I always say they are limited in a way, because I've never seen a husband put makeup on their wife on their wedding day. The wife is always preparing themselves, you know, to look good. Blush, layer after layer. These days I've even lost I can't with the tutorials anymore. Because there are so many layers of things that you put on your face. But the Bible says Jesus is preparing for himself, carefully so, molding us, moving us, shifting us. This is how you are supposed to be. This is how I want it to be. This is how Builders Church is supposed to be. I'm going to bring Mrs. Mhlongwe, and this is what she's going to do. I'm going to bring Ta. This is what she's going to do. This is what Pastor G is going to do. 5 years later, this is what he's going to be involved in. 3 years later, this is what she's going to be involved in. And maybe later I will move this one, bring this one next, have this one marry this one. They think they just like each other, but there's a purpose. I am preparing a church, and I am preparing a glorious church, and not only to succeed within the realms of your family, within the realms of the four walls of the church, but also out there, that kingdom may come through the church. So when you belong, it's deep. It's not just signing an iConnect card. No. You are saying, Jesus, I am becoming part of your body. I am your body, wherever I am. The Bible then begins to say each part doing what it is supposed to do. The wisdom. So many people, it says each part doing, and it says Jesus is the head. So from his head, all of these things are being worked, including us, our circumstances, our lives, shifting them and moving them for his glory. So when we begin to become part of what he's doing, when he partakes of the glory, when we suffer with him, because he's the head and we are the body, we can't suffer separately. We will suffer together. But when the glory comes, lo and behold, it's on all of us together. And that is why it is important to know that Jesus is building a glorious church. He didn't bring you here to fail. He didn't bring you here to be defeated. He didn't bring you here to suffer. He's building a glorious church. And you are part of that church. And you should be proud of the fact that you are part of the church of Jesus Christ. Gone are those days where we let the world convince us that what we are doing is the most shameful thing that you can ever do, that those who are down and out do Jesus. But those who are flying high and succeeding are the ones that can do things out there. But we know the treasure of what we have. The scripture we read said, to them he is blasphemed, but to us, yes, he is glorified. We know what God is doing in our midst. And he doesn't want to present to himself a defeated church, a sickly church, an incomplete church that lacks the glory of God. He wants a glorious bride. And I have gone to so many weddings of friends and whatnot, and there's just that moment where the groom sees the bride coming. And you know, it breaks down the strongest of men when they realize that moment of she's mine and she's walking down the aisle towards me. Amen. And this is, Jesus, the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. Just like Adam said to Eve. Jesus, when he looks at his church, we are his flesh and we are his bone. So proud to have us, because he is preparing us, and we will be the perfect image of what he wants us to be, shining in the light of his glory. Amen. Now, there are prophetic promises of the restoration of the temple which are applicable to the 21st century church. And his biggest desire is to restore the glory of his church. It is for his house to be the house of glory. We have been declaring, and I was so blessed when Mama chose that scripture for the pre-service prayer. I was like, wow, God, hey, you are the head of the church. You are working this thing. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 60, verse 7, the Bible says, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. God is in the process of glorifying the house of his glory. He is working in us to glorify the house of his glory. See, that's why, like Elia, it's not your responsibility to glorify yourself. You can't. We don't have the capacity to. But God has the capacity to glorify us. And as his house, he is glorifying us. Amen. It says in the book of Haggai, chapter number 2, verse 7, "And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." He even, you know, addresses the fact that I've got hosts. I've got hosts. I can make this thing happen. I am able to make this thing happen. And you know, the book of Haggai, chapter number 2, points to significant elements of the things that are going to come, or that come with the glory of the Lord: his presence, his power, and his prosperity. And as his church, we are candidates. As long as what we are doing is in line with God and we are aligned with lifting up the name of Jesus, his power, his presence, and his prosperity are our portion. So if you are sitting in this place, there's anything in your life that is questioning the presence of God, it's questioning the power of God, it's questioning the prosperity of God, we are reminded this morning that these are the things that are allotted to us. This is the year of glory. And we will see the glory of the Lord. And not only will we see it in our personal lives, but his church will see the glory of the Lord as he restores it. You know, sometimes, as I said, the world can make us feel like we are this small for being part of the church. But let me tell you, when the glory comes, you won't even need to open your mouth. You won't even need to open your mouth. We will just see. It will just be evident. The Bible says in that scripture, "I will shake all nations." Amen. All nations will be shook by what God is going to do. And we will be a part of it as his church in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so even as we believe him for the glory, one of the most critical things that we need to know is that it is not going to happen by our own strength and our own power. I'll share my story once again, that I've had the privilege to be in business for a couple of years, right? And every time you want to go and pitch your business to companies, personally, I did not like doing anything with government. So, but you know, those who are solid in business will tell you that's where the money is. So, yeah. So I had a process, you know. I knew if I wanted to go into a certain company, I'd study them and by the grace of God be able to figure out, okay, here, there's a loophole. This is how I can sell what I can do for them, and this is how I'm going to pitch it. And when I arrive, this is what I'm going to say. And I would prepare a powerful PowerPoint presentation. And I'd get there by God's grace and, you know, speak. And for the longest of time, I'd do that over and over, company to company, company to company, company to company. And it would just not break through. Like, I'd go back. And even they would be baffled because they would say, "Yo, we really like you." But unfortunately, You know? Yeah, there's no budget. Yes, Smooth, the famous line, there's no budget. And I'll be like, what strategy must I put in place now to work around this? And I'd think of something else. You know, you read business books, articles, whatnot, you learn and you go and do it again. Come back, nothing. And of the times where I've had breakthroughs, man, I would sit down and be like, oh, Jesus, why? There's a breakthrough that came with me just going to greet an old colleague that I went and I said hi to them. And I was like, no, I was in the neighborhood, so I thought, let me just come in from a previous company. And then when I was about to leave, they're like, hold on, Konja, what are you doing now? And then I told them. Then they're like, you know what? There's a company that we want to work with, but they are, whatever it is that I was doing is in shambles. Can we go there? Do you have some time? It was Ascension Day on that day, a couple of years back at church. So I'm like to that person, hey, I need to go back because there's a service at church in the evening. Then they're like, please spare a few minutes. Then I'm like, okay. Then they're like, drive behind me. I drive behind them. Move. Get to that company, we walk in, sit in the boardroom, and then they're like, okay, so we've been trying to work with you guys, it's not working. This is Hope, she's got what you, like quick like that, like she's got what you need, whatever it is that's not working, that we don't like about you, she can do, please put her on board, whatnot, and something to the tune of, if you don't, we walk. And they were not willing to miss that business. And I got a breakthrough like that. The next day, I was signing a contract. A company I didn't even know. I was not even knocking at their door and whatnot. And God operates like that. Yeah. There are things that His glory is able to do that no man and no strategy can do for you. But it can only be by the Spirit of God. And so that is why we must not downplay the church and who we are in Christ, because that is what sets us apart from the world. So if we are ashamed of the fact that we speak in tongues, we preach the name of Jesus, we lift up the name of Jesus, we worship, all of those things are the things that work for us. So we cannot live our lives and not acknowledge those things and not acknowledge the Spirit of God and act like it's just a force, like it's the universe. No, 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 no. It's not the universe. It's not, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that was hovering. So don't tell me about a universe. I want the one who made the universe. I want the one who made the universe. The Bible says in the book of Zechariah, chapter number 4, verse 6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And even as God restores his glory, and restores the glory of the church and glorifies us, He will do it by His Spirit. And therefore, our relationship with the Holy Spirit, our acknowledgement of the works of the Spirit that the Bible says sometimes our carnal minds will not understand and they will not make sense. That is the very same Spirit that God is going to use. Zerubbabel and them were building and there was opposition. Great opposition, not small, a tiny opposition of a neighbor that was complaining and saying, your building is going over my fence. No, kings, like ranks, were opposing what they were doing. Amen. But the Spirit of the Lord brought a word to them to remind them that by the Spirit, they will be able to do what they do, not by strategies, not by human power, not by human intelligence. So essentially this year, you and I must suspend logic if we are going to experience the glory of God. We must suspend the things that make sense to us. if we are going to experience the glory. It must be like when you wake, I can go and say hi, and the next morning I can have a contract. It can happen in this season. I can be broke now, and I can be rich in the next hour. That can happen in this season. I can be struggling with a particular weakness now, and God can help me through it tomorrow. Mfundisi always gives a testimony that when he stopped smoking years ago, when before he gets saved, that he just quit like this when he was still young, a long time ago, Bazalwane, like a long time ago. After he had just been saved, I think it was in a month or weeks, or I'm not sure. But he always shares that testimony that he just stopped. That can only be the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yes. To let go of an addiction as heavy as smoking. Yeah. Yes. Those who have been through it will tell you it's not easy. Yeah. It's not easy. But God can help you through it. Yes. In this year of the glory. Anything can happen. Yes. Listen, anything, you must go crazy about it. Anything can happen. Anything. Bab Zikali said on Thursday, everything is possible. Kwazinto ziyayenzeka. Anything. Don't limit your mind. Anything. Anything. This might be like a crazy side note, but to the point of, if you are looking for a spouse, God can just make one. Amen. 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 It must come from the glory. It must come from the glory. It must come from the glory. And the glory is able to do that much. It is not by might, not by power, but it is by the Spirit. It is by the Spirit. The way the Spirit moves, the way the Spirit works, the capacity of the Holy Spirit, His abilities, all of those things. It's the way our lives are supposed to run in this year. So refuse. Refuse. Refuse anything that is short of the glory of God. Bazalwane, if we don't go for it this year, we are going to point at those who did. Yeah. Hey, my time, Lord Jesus. I'm closing soon. His Spirit is the Spirit of glory, carried by those who have gone through the suffering for the sake of building according to His pattern and blueprint. The scripture that we read earlier says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you." It is our norm that a trial will come, a fiery trial will come to try us. But this trying is not just for the sake of testing your strength, but it is for perfecting us. This is how we are perfected into the bride that God wants us to be, so He can glorify us. The book of Hebrews chapter number 2 verse 10 says, "For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." So if you are suffering, you must know that you are being perfected for the glory of God. If you look at that picture there, this is the shack, the first shack for Builders Church. Builders Church was here with about 4 or 5 members. Look at the floor. This is what Builders Church was at the time, Butleng Christian Center, which is still our registered name. And from that, to believe for this, yes, across 3 cities, yes, takes a level of saying, "Lord, I'm willing to suffer. Sizokhonza emkhukhwini sisha makushisa. Begnetha, magnetha begnethela vele. Yes, as in hold an umbrella inside if you want to be safe. And I was not even there then. And I admire everyone who believed and suffered. And saw this here. And saw the lights, saw the chairs, saw the people when there were still only 5 people that went there on a service. They even jokingly said after church they would go and eat together at Pastor Nomsa's house because, you know, it was a few people. Obviously, now you can't say, Bazalwane, after church, let's go home and eat. You need to be strong. But the sufferings that we are going through, that shack must be a symbol for us. That's why we have that, so that we can remember where we come from and how far God can bring a person who believes, who is able to lay down their lives and suffer. But suffering like one who knows that I am suffering now, but as I suffer with him, I will be glorified together with him. Amen. The Bible says we should not be surprised. The mocking, the criticism is a sign that the spirit of glory, the spirit that will help you to build successfully, is upon you. It is upon you. And you will build a successful family. You will build a successful career. You will build a successful business. You will have a true and a living relationship with God. You will have a glorious life by reason of the spirit of glory that is upon us. Amen. We may stand on our feet this morning. Let us just take some time to pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that the spirit of glory is upon us, O God. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that every suffering, O God, in the name of Jesus, we go through it as those who know that, O God, you are able to change situations, that, O God, you are perfecting us and molding us into what you want us to be so we can be carriers of your glory. O God, we lay even our lives this morning before you to say, Lord, build, O God, build for your name, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, O Master. We lay our lives down, O Master, to say, we will no longer focus on our own names, O Master, but we will partake of this great mandate, O God, that we may build, O Master, in the name of Jesus, for the name that is above all names, that we will build to lift your name up, O God, that we will build, O Master, in the name of Jesus Christ, not for ourselves and our own benefit, O God, but for you, and we know that even as we build for you, O God, you are building, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, us for your glory. Be glorified in our lives, O God. Be glorified in our careers. Be glorified in our businesses. Be glorified in our families, O God. Ramaya shandala mandelebe kosoya. Rimandala mandaya lama sheketelebe ketelebe ketela. Yekatolo mandarabakashia. Yenda dosa kapata la mandelebe kesia. Yitala mandelebe koshekendelebe kosoya. May your glory, O God, in the name of Jesus, the spirit of glory, may it rest upon us. The spirit of glory, may it rest upon us, O God. O Ramashia Mandelebe Koseya. We align ourselves to what the spirit of glory is working, O Master. In the name of Jesus Christ, O God, we give you the glory and we give you the honor this morning. We bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. We honor you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. We bless your holy name, O God. Hallelujah. And the church said, amen. Come on, give God a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much and keep on building.